How family friendly is the Disney Corporation right now? We're going to talk about that with Hedia Miramati. Her website is resurrectministry.com. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Hedia, thank you for joining us. We appreciate that. And I understand recently you wrote a column, Disney's Not So Family Friendly Agenda. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor and a pleasure.
Okay, go ahead and give us an overview about your column and why you wrote it and where you posted it.
Sure. Well, we're really involved in the parental rights movement here in my district. And as a columnist for the Christian Post, I thought it was important to articulate for people why this struggle is so important. One aspect of the parental rights movement is pushing back against industries and individuals and organizations, everything from the school board to companies that are basically launching this assault against family values. And the greatest victim of these are our children. And so the latest one we saw was from Disney, where they came up against the Florida legislation that literally was banning sexual material in health education for kindergarteners, though they made it sound like it was about gay people in general, which it absolutely was not. And when they came out in opposition to that, they were basically vowing to increase their support for the LGBT agenda, especially in programming. And so what we thought as families with conservative Christian values is that people needed to understand that that's what they plan to support, and that's against what we believe as Christians, and that we wanted to push back on their attempt to mainstream that kind of behavior. And it's not out of a disrespect for humanity and people and differences. It's about respect for biblical values. And so that's why I wrote the article.
When you refer to our district, what are you referring to there?
Oh, so sorry. I'm in Southern California, Placentia Yorba Linda School District. And like school districts across the country, we are in a knockout, drag-out fight to instill, strong values in our, not only in our kids, but to make sure the school sticks by their requirement to teach and educate our children, not indoctrinate our children.
Now, I understand you have something personal in reference to this, where your own daughter has dealt with the issue of gender dysphoria. Do you care to share?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It was during the height of the COVID lockdowns, and my daughter was an only child before I recently remarried. And so she wasn't able to see any of her friends, and she spent an inordinate amount of time, unfortunately, on social media and started to go through this transformation that honestly, I could honestly say that it did not exist before this time period. She was a very well-adapted young girl, loved to wear dresses, was very proud of being a female. And then suddenly, after COVID, started to come to me saying, I think I'm a boy. And at first I laughed because I was like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. What are you talking about? But she was quite serious. And we went to her therapist, and her therapist was basically convincing me I needed to accept my daughter's truth. And I just went nuts because I said that that's just absolutely ridiculous to accept something that I know not only is it not the truth for my child, but it's not God's truth. And I will continue to speak life and promise over her and hold on to the God's promises for her, no matter what anybody in society tells me and no matter what she says. And it was a very, very difficult struggle, and it went on for over a year. But I'm happy to say that she's definitely come out of that phase of her life. And I'm so grateful that I held on to God's promises, because were to have entertained that idea, she may have gone down a completely different road, and it could have affected the rest of her life. And
wow.
So we're blessed to have had a very positive outcome.
Well, good for you, and God bless you for your consistency. And recently on a program like this, Emily Gao of the Alliance Defending Freedom, which they deal with some of these cases, she was saying that the average child that deals with gender dysphoria will grow out of it even pre-puberty unless there's some sort of external interference, you know, such as school officials or friends or social media or something like that. And heaven forbid if they get involved, you know, in having puberty blockers or actual chemicals and things like that that would interfere with that and then maybe, you know, push them further down that transgender road.
Seen parents in our district do that. I've heard about parents that do that online, is that the first time, you know, within a couple times of the child saying, I think I want to be this other gender, they think it's like changing hair color, where they allow them to take the medicine and they allow them to cross dress and do these other things that are encouraging that confusion. But the conversations we had in my house is I kept telling my daughter, you could be strong. You could have qualities that people say are male, and they're not male because God made you perfect as he made you. And that includes your strength and that includes your resilience. And talking about how she could continue to embrace those sides of her personalities that other people think are not textbook female personalities. And it was just, there were many, many times when we had to walk through what it meant to be a female and what it meant to be God's daughter and what the plans that he had to prosper her and to give her a bright future. And it wasn't easy. And so it is important that parents, when they see their child going another way, give them a chance to turn around. Don't just follow them down a dark hole. It's just what I kept telling her is that it was the same as if you came to me and said, I want to become a drug addict or I want to start becoming promiscuous and sleeping around. It was my job to protect you from self-harm.
Well, God bless you. Okay, comment further now on Disney. What have you found as far as your research as far as Disney? And I guess the basic question is today's Disney the same as the Disney of, 30 years ago?
Well, it's interesting. So in my research, what I discovered, and of course, when we call it to our consciousness, we see this, is that for many, many years, Disney has been projecting anti-family prototypes. So the female characters are often coming against traditional roles and basically refusing to do them. And so though looking back, we could say, oh, well, it was kind of a positive impression. It was a strong woman. They were coming against basic family traditional societal structures. And it wasn't until recently where they said they were going to openly advocate homosexual relationships that people started to look back and say, wait a minute, Disney has not been a family-friendly company for quite a while now. So it's been probably at least since, Mulan and the generation that, Frozen. So probably the past decade or two. But now they're openly committing to not supporting family values. And a lot of their executives have come out and have been, either caught on tape or publicly said that they wanted to be more supportive of an LGBT agenda and basically not supporting a traditional family value instead.
It's so ironic because Walt Disney, the man himself and the whole company for years, the whole thing was based on family-friendly values. Finally, here's a source of programming of movies and so forth that the whole family can watch. And now they're blowing their brand. And that's just the least of their problems.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the interesting thing is people have noticed the decline in their stock. People have sold their season passes. People have unsubscribed. And it'll be interesting to see whether that pressure would make them change. Like if the financial pressure is enough or that they will just double down and go after a completely different market share.
Well, it's interesting during some of the protests that were taking place in the Florida area, some of the protests against Disney for the stance that they were taking. And by the way, the lies that were told about DeSantis, as you pointed out earlier, the bill was basically a parental rights bill, just saying, okay, look, for kindergartners through third grade, graders, it is inappropriate to introduce matters of sexuality of any kind. And then the media was saying, oh no, this is the Don't Say Gay bill, etc. But I remember seeing some signs of protesters against Disney during that time with signs like, let kids be kids. Wow, what a great message.
Right, absolutely. And even there's staff members that are complaining at Disney that they're not allowed to say welcome boys and girls. Now they have to say welcome people or some other expression that I read about, but that it was disturbing even, and that on their bathrooms there's no longer pictures of boys and girls but stick figures, where even staff members that don't have a particular orientation, meaning conservative or liberal, are just kind of like, this is ridiculous. Why can't we be the company that we've always been? And why are we succumbing to this strange pressure from, you know, the radical left to change Disney's brand?
I heard also, or read an article where there's gay toys now, explicitly gay toys being marketed by Disney.
Yes, yes, I've read about that as well. And I want to make it clear, especially from my perspective, that homosexuality for some people is something they truly struggle with, same-sex attraction. And it's never the right of a Christian to hate anyone, and that our goal is always to bring them towards God's values and biblical values. But we have to always do that in love. And that's something I've learned in struggling with my own daughter, that I always will speak God's, you know, promises over her, but I always try to do that in love, and that our goal is ultimately that they find freedom in the rules that God provides for us, but that we never hate people for the sin. We hate the sin, not the sinner.
Absolutely. Now, as far as the transgender issue is concerned, the Bible says that God has made us male and female. He has made us. Biology says the same thing. In fact, the human cells are just filled with biological information that's already programmed in there for every human being, either male or female, one or the other, nothing in between.
Yes, and that's the, there's a small genetic chromosomal defect that can cause some qualities of transgenderism when the X and Y chromosomes have been crossed, but that is such an infinitesimal amount of the population that people, for the most part, this whole transgender phenomena that we're experiencing now is purely emotional, and it's societal pressure. And it was interesting because I saw this article about Bill Maher, who's the ultimate, you know, supporter of the left, is saying, if this is so widespread now, why is it being bred only in California and not the middle of Ohio? You know, if this is a natural phenomena, why is it only happening for the most part in California and not the Midwest? And I think that that's a really good point to give people pause, that this is, you know, a societal phenomena that we must fight against, and not a natural condition.
Okay, we have about half a minute left. What would you like to say, especially about Disney itself and the fact that they're really not family friendly? Do you see that maybe they could change and hopefully get back to being family friendly?
Well, I guess just like anything else, we had miraculous success at our school board by changing our school board officials. So it depends. It'll come down to the bottom line. Disney will change if their board members and their officers want it to change. Look at Elon Musk and Twitter. So it is, things can change based on what the leadership is and what people are pushing for. So we need to keep up the financial pressure, stay involved, stay engaged, be informed, and we could hopefully, with God's support, turn this around.
Amen. And thank you so much for being with us. Hedia Miramati, ResurrectMinistry.com. Thank you, Hedia. All the best.
Thank you so much for having me.